Anna. Hello everyone, I'm Alma, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for having me here today. I have to say before I start that I am so nervous and I've been sitting with that today for the last couple of hours and wondering why am I so nervous? And it's because you guys are family to me and I really want to do a good job. So I'm really grateful to have been asked to speak. I owe this group in particular my recovery, and I hope that if there are any newcomers here, you stick around and maybe there's something that I can share that will be useful to you. So I guess I'll start at the beginning. As far as I can remember, I've always been a compulsive overeater. My childhood memories as a kid were arguing with my mum at dinner time when she served me a smaller portion of food than what she was eating. And I would demand that she would give me the adult portion because I felt that that was what I needed to have. I would search the cupboards and find chocolate icing. She always had chocolate icing in the cupboard. And I would take a spoon and just slowly scrape the top off, hoping that she wouldn't notice. And I would do it over days and days and days until the whole pot of icing was gone. And of course, she would ask, Alma, where has the icing gone? Did you eat it? And I would say, no, I didn't eat it. And so I started lying from a very, very young age, secret eating and a lot of shame. As a teenager, my memories with food were with the pocket money that I had going to the local shop after school and buying big packets of donuts and chocolate and eating it on the way home, and then hiding the wrappers so that they couldn't be found. And I did that for years, all the way up until adulthood. And there's one particular memory that really stays in my mind, and I was sharing this with a sponsee today because I was talking about having to keep this program alive and remembering actually how bad and how cruel my disease is because I have the great forgetter. When things are great, I forget the depths of my disease and I think, oh, maybe it'll be okay if I do this, and it never is. And this memory is one where I had had a really bad binge. And I was on the bathroom floor in my mum's house. I was a teenager and I was in so much pain. I was curled up on the floor and I was begging her, please help me, please make this stop. And I was so hopeless and I hoped that she had the answer, but she didn't. She didn't know, by the And then as an adult, when I started to live independently, my disease progressed and I started stealing food from my housemates. So I would go down in the middle of the night and take things out of their cupboards and eat it secretly. So secret eating, compulsive eating has been a component of my life since I can remember. I was one of those people that believed if I did years and years of therapy and personal development, that I would crack the code. If I understood why, I would be able to stop eating. And what I've had to learn in the program that what we know is actually irrelevant. The more we know, the less we know. And I really had to get outside of myself to be humble enough to learn a new way. So, how did I come to OA? It took many years of struggling. I had to hit bottom. And it all started in 2016. I was the heaviest I had ever been, and I was in a really awful, abusive relationship. And it was a life or death situation. And of course, my sick mind believed that if I was able to be in a small body, I would be happier and I'd be able to have the courage to leave this relationship. And losing weight was going to solve all my problems. So, for 1 year, I dedicated my life to losing weight and I lost around 10 stone. I think it's about 140 pounds, so a lot of weight. And I thought I'd cracked the code. I was so pleased with myself. I was finally living in this smaller body. And I decided to retrain as a personal trainer. I was working as a makeup artist at the time. And my new business venture was going to be to help women lose weight and build muscle, get fit and strong. And I really, really, really thought that I had won over the disease. I didn't even know was a disease at this point. I just thought that I had really bad habits. And I started working as a personal trainer, and then as life does, things happen and life gets tough. It's not all sunshine and rainbows just because I'm in this small body, like I thought. I thought everything was going to be fixed. And it wasn't the case. And it became increasingly more difficult to keep the weight off. And so I became very restrictive. And then I went on the other end and ended up underweight. I was miserable and I was horrible to be around. I was very paranoid. I didn't want to eat in other people's houses. I was cold all the time because I just had no body fat. And I thought that it was completely normal. And at the time, I didn't realize how unhappy I was because I was still under the illusion that being in a small body was going to fix all of my problems. And I wanted to believe it so badly that I just denied myself the honesty of actually how sick I was and how unhappy I was. So, fast forward, working as a personal trainer, I started working with women, getting lots of results, got very busy. And so it ingrained deeper into me that I really knew what I was doing and that I wasn't sick. And it was something that I could control and that I had really strong will, which we know is the worst thing for us to have. We can't be in will, we have to be in surrender. But I couldn't even fathom that at that point. Life continues, gets more challenging, and we then get to lockdown. And it was in the first lockdown. I was in a relationship at the time, and when that relationship started showing problems and getting difficult, I started noticing that I began to turn to food again. And this time it was much more aggressive. And I thought, nope, it's okay. I've done it before. I've lost a lot of weight before, and I'm going to be able to do it again. And this time I couldn't. I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried, and I just couldn't keep the weight off. I couldn't go a day without binging. And my eating got so bad that I would hide food in our wardrobe. And we had an open plan house. And so I would literally hide behind a pillar, eating food, hoping that she wouldn't turn around the corner and see me, eating silently so that she wouldn't hear me. And all this time, I still didn't realize how sick I was. This was normal because I had lived this way my whole life. I was in therapy at the time, and my therapist mentioned 12-step to me, and so I began Googling the 12-step programs and learning more about it, and I started going to meetings. I lasted just over 2 weeks the first time I came in. I thought you were all crazy. I thought it was a cult. I thought the prayers were weird. I thought the happiness was fake. I thought that everyone who had abstinence was actually restricting. And I thought, nah, these guys don't know what they're talking about. Because I was in so much ego, I studied nutrition. How could I possibly look at a food plan? And so I left and I read over the message that I sent to my first sponsor today because I thought, I wonder what I said. And I said to her, I think I need to get better and then I will come back. How would I get better outside of these rooms? But that was the insanity of my mind. I thought I could make myself better. And this program has taught me that I'm in I all the time. And it had to get worse. So I went away for a year and I was the most unwell I had ever been. I was suicidal every 3 months, incredibly depressed, anxious. My food was out of control. I had put on all the weight that I lost, the 140 and more. And I was incredibly unhappy and lost. So when I came into the program the second time, I had a little bit more desperation. And I started working with a sponsor who I met in this meeting. And we started working the steps. And I remember in the beginning, She had told me that she had given up chocolate, which was my kryptonite food. And she told me that she didn't even remember what it tasted like. And I remember sitting there over Zoom looking at her and just thinking, how weird. How do you not remember what chocolate tastes like? And how have you given it up? And completely judging her and thinking she's in restriction because I still
10 minutes
thought that
left,
I
Alma.
knew best. Thank you. I still thought that I knew best. And I just couldn't imagine ever doing that. But I was so desperate that I decided if there's one thing that I'm going to give up, it's going to be chocolate because I wasn't willing to do a food plan. I had studied nutrition, so I was like, I know what I'm doing. I can write my own food plan. And so I gave up chocolate, and thank God I haven't touched it till this day, despite having slips and relapses. And that is thanks to this program, not thanks to me, not thanks to self-will, thanks to higher power, steps, my sponsor meetings, and you guys. And so I want to kind of talk through each step and share my experience with them because I need to remind myself still now that I'm not the one who is running the show because I go, oh, I'm abstinent. Fantastic. You know, and it gives me like this sense of ego. And then I'm like, this is not me. And I get reminders when I get these little thoughts, oh, maybe you can do this. Oh, maybe. And then I'm humbled because I'm like, wow, I'm so sick. And so I need these reminders. I like to remind myself all the time. I need to remind myself how sick I am and how deadly this disease is. You know, they say in the rooms that your disease is in the background doing push-ups. And that has been my experience. It's there waiting for you to have a weak moment to come out and just mess things up. So, step one, I don't have them memorized. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. This step was really difficult for me because I didn't want to admit that my life was unmanageable. At this point, I ran a successful business. I had moved from being a personal trainer into opening up a gym. I had a team. And I just didn't understand how my life could be unmanageable if I was successful. And so I was in complete dishonesty and denial. And I really struggled with step one because of that until I realized that I wouldn't need the program if my behavior with food was unmanageable. It was completely unmanageable. And so I needed to really understand that I was insane. But it took me a long time. Because I was in ego, and all I was in was, I'm successful, I do this, you know, I've done better than my parents, I've done so good from the childhood that I came from. I was so arrogant, but I couldn't see it at the time. Step two came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I was willing to believe in anything at this point, and that was enough to kind of see me through. But then we get to step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. This was more challenging because I didn't understand how God was going to relieve me of this eating disorder, compulsive overeating. And what I've learned in the program is not only has my higher power, who I call God, relieved me of my obsession with food, he also relieves me of my daily troubles. Every single day, God gets to lead my life. And I wish I knew sooner that surrender actually equaled freedom. Because to me, surrender just felt like the end of my life. Why would I want to surrender? I love to be in control. But surrender is the best place to be. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. This was a huge step for me. This step brought me, step four, brought me the most clarity, healing. I would do this step every single day if I could, like write the pages all over again, which took me weeks. I really dragged it out. I was able to see my entire childhood in such a different light that I wouldn't even be able to communicate to you now the things that happened in the same way that I would have been able to tell you before program, because I see things so differently now. Now I understand that there are no bad people. There are just people that do bad things because they're sick. And
2 minutes
knowing that
left,
has been
Alma.
able to, 2 minutes, oh my God, has been able to free me of the resentments that I carried so heavily. I think I'll stay just here just because of time and give two examples of that. Pre-program, me and my mother didn't have a relationship. And thanks to program, last Christmas, we spent the first Christmas together since I was a child. And so this was a really, really big deal. I made amends to her, and we have a really beautiful relationship now. My father, I saw him at two points in my life before now, once when I was, I think, around 14 months old, and then at 12 years old, and I hadn't seen him since. He was a very, very sick man, and he struggles with addiction like I do. And I was able to make amends to him last year, and I saw him a week ago for the first time as an adult, and I was able to look at him and really feel compassion for the suffering that he has experienced when I lived my whole life in complete hatred. And that is what, one of the many, 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 many things I wish there was more time that the program has given me is a freedom to love, a freedom to forgive, the ability to let go of resentment. So I think the last thing that I want to say is something
Hey,
that my.
Alma, I was wrong. You got 5 minutes left.
Oh my God, Joe, you're playing with me.
I'm
My anxiety
sorry.
is bad enough as it is.
I'm sorry.
Terrible.
My
Okay, great.
apologies.
Great. All right, let's rewind. So, parents, forgiveness. Where do I want to go next? My sponsor. She said to me, tell your problems how big your God is. These last few months, I could list the insanity that has happened in my life. My life has turned upside down. I had such a beautiful year last year. I was in a really steady place. I moved into a beautiful house with my girlfriend. I have a healthy relationship now. That is down to program. First time in my life. And everything turns upside down. I moved country 4 days ago, and I'm potentially going to lose my business, something that I've worked so hard for. And I'm okay. And I wouldn't have been okay if it wasn't for program. I would have been in the food. I would have been having the suicidal thoughts again. I would have been acting out on behaviors. I would be being mean and lying and in shame. And now I just trust that if I lose the business, no matter what happens, it's meant to be. There's something else that I'm supposed to do with my life. And I trust that God is going to navigate me in that direction. I don't need to know what the plan is. I have always been a planner. And now I get to experience a life where God leads me. And I just trust that no matter what happens, no matter how broken I am, I don't even have a home right now. And I'm in another country. And I just trust that I'm going to be okay because God has shown up every single step for me. And I want any newcomer here to know that the people in these rooms really care. They want to help you. That's something that I really didn't understand in the beginning. I couldn't possibly fathom the idea of a stranger wanting to give me their time. And so many of you have freely given me your time. And it's thanks to this group that I have recovery. It's thanks to this group that I'm not in the food, that I'm not suicidal, that I get to live a life of program. And for that, I'm so, so, so grateful. So please don't leave before the miracle happens. Thank you.